Among the hundreds of outdoor sculptures that dot Philadelphia's urban landscape, a lot of the sculptures are in places you might expect. You know, Rizzo is on the Municipal Services Plaza. Jack Kelly is on the river with his skull. Rocky is at the steps of the Art Museum. There are three classical composers in West Fairmount Park. How did they come to be there?
Well, you know, there's an interesting story behind every sculpture, and there was a time when that area around the Horticulture Center was much more central to what was going on in the city. It was once the site of the Centennial Exposition in 1876. So there was more of a focus on that part of the park, and I think that's how, in the end, quite a number of sculptures wound up there. And the three composers that you're thinking of are Giuseppe Verdi, Franz Schubert, and Joseph Haydn. And today, it is really curious to find them there and to wonder about how it was that they were placed in Philadelphia to begin with. And it turns out that Philadelphia was a center of German singing clubs. And the German singing clubs were competing nationally, and every year when a club would win, the prize would be a sculpture bust of a famous composer. So Philadelphia actually acquired those two busts of Schubert and Haydn through the German singing societies.
And what about Verdi?
And Verdi came to Philadelphia through the Italian cultural community. And that also has an interesting backstory, I think, which can be compared to a lot of sculptures that were installed by ethnic groups all over Philadelphia, and there are many. And that is that newly arrived Americans really wanted people to understand that they came from a country where there was a considerable cultural background, that even though they were new to this country, that they brought with them a certain intellectual and cultural history. And it was a way of positioning themselves in a positive light. And I think you see that over and over again, especially with sculptures that ethnic groups were involved with.
So if a community group wanted to honor somebody and they funded the sculpture, was there a certain process by which they would get the sculpture displayed?
Well, it really depended on what time period it was. Prior to 1911, they would have negotiated with the park or sometimes aligned themselves with another organization. My organization, the Association for Public Art, was formerly the Fairmount Park Art Association, and at that time worked with a number of ethnic groups in order to bring and place and locate various sculptures around the city. After 1911, because there was beginning to be a proliferation of sculptures, the city created something called the Art Jury, and that evolved and became the Art Commission that we know today. So in the 20th century, there was a more rigorous review process. And again, each sculpture wound up being placed at a location and has its own backstory in terms of how they got there. But I can assure you of this, that every sculpture you see had a group of people behind it who were eager to see it happen and who were eager, I think, to commission the best artists of the day in order to execute their ideas. So it's another reason why Philadelphia has such an extraordinary collection of outdoor sculpture, not just expressing universal ideas and emotions and people, but also having a history of work by some of the greatest artists of our time.
Now, in your inventory of sculptures that exist in Philadelphia, not necessarily limited to the Museum Without Walls thing, are these the only three that you know of that represent classical musicians?
I would say yes, but the question had me thinking more about the relationship between art and music. So, for example, the Duck Girl in Rittenhouse Square It turns out that Major Jackson, who was a poet who lived in Philadelphia for quite some time, wrote a poem called Duck Girl on the Occasion of Spring. And then the Philadelphia Concerto Soloist commissioned a musical piece using his poem about the duck girl. So in that sense, you have this idea that music and art and poetry live on, really, in terms of how people begin to look at the sculpture. So the sculptures really do have a life after the occasion that brought them to the original site. And I've begun to realize that often that can be connected to the other arts. Another example of that would be that there's a beautiful sculpture called Night in the Horticultural Center on the grounds. It was created in 1872 by Edward Stausch and was one of the first acquisitions of the Fairmount Park Art Association. And through our Museum Without Walls audio program, we located the great-great-grandson of the artist, a man by the name of Michael Stausch. And it turns out that he's a musician, and he wrote a piece of music called Grandfather's Statue Nocturne. And in the Museum Without Walls audio program for that sculpture, he talks about that, and we also play some of that music. So the idea that the sculptures really are a nexus, can be a nexus of creative thought that transcends generations, is really a very powerful idea.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.